You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, National League Central Edition. And we're to opening day, the words that get every baseball fan excited. National League Central, we've got a great lineup for the teams. We've got the Joe Maddon era starting for the Cubs, the Cardinals starting their push to get to the playoffs 5 years in a row. We've got the Pirates, two-time wild card winners, trying to start their quest for a division title against Cincinnati. The Reds pushing back with Johnny Cueto in the opener. And for the Brew Crew, Kyle Loesch, who will be starting his third opening day. One of those is deserving of an asterisk, as our Adam McAlvey points out. It's the National League Central Extras, St. Louis Cardinals edition. Looking forward to that opening day, the Sunday night opener at Wrigley Field, Cardinals-Cubs. As always, joined by Jen Langosch. Jen, how was spring training for you? You have a good time?
Yeah, you know, it gets long down here. I'm certainly not going to complain about it, but it is nice to get going and very excited to start watching games that actually count and, you know, to see what's going to come out of the spring. But certainly it was a strong spring for the Cardinals. Few injuries that they had to worry about, and they seem to be in a pretty good place heading into the season.
Hey, do you have your scorebook, all your office supplies ready? Because, you know, if not, I have a Staples near me. I can run out and bring something to Wrigley.
Well, I think I'm good for now, but I will keep that in mind. I do have my scorebook. I ordered that a couple weeks ago, so that is ready to go. Like I said, just looking forward to actually keeping score in games that matter and paying attention to a little bit more than roster battles and the like.
Yeah, I know nobody looking forward to an opening day more than Adam Wainwright. He was set back early in camp with that abdominal strain, but as we talk, doing everything he can to be on the mound for the Cardinals, be his fourth straight opening day start. Cardinals-Cubs opening day, Jen, do you need the rivalry to get a little extra going? It's going to be a double amp this spring, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much about this game that's intriguing. I mean, first off, the potential pitching matchup that we're expecting, John Lester, Adam Wainwright, the Cardinals-Cub rivalry being renewed, it seems like, with the Cubs getting better. The new manager there, the ballpark, you know, not being finished there is going to be kind of an interesting side note. Jason Mott potentially pitching against his former team. So, you know, there's a lot to like about this opening matchup. And for Adam Wainwright, you know, he's been cautiously optimistic this whole spring about being ready for opening day, but also, you know, has been honest in saying he wasn't going to push himself just to pitch on April 5th if it was going to hurt him down the road. But, you know, the good thing all along is that he really never had to take any time away from throwing, so he was able to build up his arm as he would have only pitched in three Grapefruit League games, so less than he's done so in the past. But again, his ability to build up his arm on the side, build up that pitch count, really leaves the Cardinals confident that, you know, come opening day, he'll be ready to go. He'll be ready to go probably 100, maybe even beyond 100 pitches. And again, it's an assignment that Waino, whether he says it or not, relishes and wanted.
Well, I think it's interesting to look at over and unders on teams going into the season. The Cardinals, looking at the latest Vegas numbers, the line I looked at this morning, they are down for 88.5 wins. Interesting thing to me about that is that's a four-game cushion over the next best team in the Central. The Pirates check in at 84.5. Do the Cardinals see themselves as still strong favorites in the Central, or do you think they really expect a 162-game dogfight?
You know, I mean, I think they have to be considered the favorites given that they've won the last two division titles. But this organization also sees what some of these other teams in the NL Central have done. And I think if you look at how this division sets up this year, I mean, I think it's going to offer more parity than it has in many recent years and probably more so than any other division in baseball. And you're looking at five teams that can make an argument that they're going to compete for a division title this year. And I just don't think you can say that on any of the other five divisions. So, you know, the Cardinals know they're the hunted. They get it that everybody's chasing them. I do think that, again, the way this division sets up, that 90 wins could win it. The Cubs-Cardinals rivalry is being renewed a little bit. I think that the Cardinals players, actually, some of them have said they're kind of looking forward to that aspect. The Pirates, they know, have been there in the hunt the last couple of years, and they knew it took until September to leapfrog the Brewers last year. So, you know, again, the fact that the Cardinals were able to get through spring training without any serious injuries, and the fact that they showed that they had some starting rotation depth that I don't think they even knew that they would necessarily have, especially with Jaime Garcia and kind of the question mark that he was, sets the Cardinals up, I think, to enter the season as the favorites. Again, it's going to come down largely to health, and it's going to come down to whether or not this offense can produce more runs than it did a year ago, which the Cardinals think they can, but certainly they still have to prove that they can do so.
Again, if the Cardinals were to blow past that 88.5, which I think it is low because the division is balanced and there are no weaklings to beat up on, but if they were to blow past that and wind up winning 95 games, look into your crystal ball. What would you now say had happened that really turned them from a very good team into the old-fashioned beast?
Yeah, I think it's going to take two things. I think, number one, it's going to take health on the starting pitching side. While the Cardinals have shown some good rotation depth this spring, the reality is they don't have the depth that they did a couple of years ago when Shelby Miller was around and Joe Kelly was around. So, you know, they're in a good spot right now and seemingly have too many ready major league starting pitchers for spots. All it takes, though, is for one or two of those guys to go down, and it's a different picture. So, you know, I think that's one thing. Number two, this is a team that has to show more power, and that doesn't necessarily have to manifest itself in home runs. This is a team that finished last in the NL in home runs last year with its lowest total in more than two decades. So it's going to have to show a little bit more power, whether that's extra base hits, just a run-producing ability. So it's not, you know, it's interesting. It's not something we've seen much of in spring training. The home runs that have been hit in spring training are hit by guys that were fighting for bench jobs or AAA jobs. So we haven't necessarily seen the extra base hit from the major league starters. But it's something the Cardinals do believe they're going to have a deeper lineup with the addition of Jason Hayward in the middle of it. But it's going to have to produce, and it's going to probably have to fall somewhere between the 2013 and 2014 production that this team has had the last couple years.
Well, last question I'm going to ask you, the biggest addition to this team, you mentioned him, Jason Hayward, not just big on paper, but big when he stands in that on-deck circle and looks out at an opposing pitcher. What are the expectations? I know he's blended in very well with the Cardinals, and a guy the Cardinals have really enjoyed having in spring training. What are the realistic expectations for Hayward? Will anything less than an all-star type season be a disappointment?
You know, potentially. This is a big year for both club and player. I mean, you know, in Hayward, from Hayward's side, this is his walk year. He's going to be a free agent for the first time after the season. And, you know, there's already been speculation that he's going to command a contract, $150 to $200 million. You know, and a lot of that's going to depend on how he performs this year. I think the Cardinals, probably Hayward too, and then outsiders are just interested to see how he profiles as a hitter. I mean, you look at his career, he's had years where he's been a power hitter. He's had years where he's reduced those strikeouts and been an on-base guy. So the Cardinals, you know, they have – Mike Medee's been very clear that in talking with Jason, he has told him that they envision him more as the power guy that he has been in the past. He's going to hit second in this order. Cardinals need him to get on base. They want him to show some power, run-producing ability. They look forward to the speed that he can generate on the base paths, which is something that this team does not have a lot of and has not for many years. And then certainly his ability to play a Gold Glove outfield, you know, I don't think we can, you know, look past that. So he's going to have to play better, hit better against left-handed pitching. I think that's a little bit of an unknown. And again, the Cardinals would like to see those power numbers tick up. But if all goes well, yeah, I mean, this is a guy who certainly could be an all-star type player this season. He expects that of him, and that's the reason why the Cardinals were willing to give up many years of control of Shelby Miller and a good pitching prospect in Tyrell Jenkins to get a guy that they only have committed for 1 year. And, you know, if all goes well, the Cardinals certainly hope this isn't Jason Hayward's only year in a Cardinal uniform. But a lot of that's going to depend on how he performs this year.
Well, it'll be great to see him not just on opening night at Wrigley Field, but the next couple games, and get used to seeing Jason Hayward in regular season games in a Cardinal uniform. Thanks very much, Jen. Look forward to seeing you in the Wrigley Field press box on Sunday night, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. And really happy to say we're looking forward to opening day. Spring training is much fun as it is. It sets up the regular season. And the Pirates heading to Cincinnati to open the 2015 season against the Reds. Francisco Liriano, the guy that you guys around him call Frankie, getting ready to make his second straight opening day start. for the Pirates. When you look at Liriano, Tom, what are your expectations going into this season for him?
The sky's the limit. You know, Francisco has obviously regained his self from a couple of down seasons before he got to the Pirates. His confidence is sky high, and his slider is ground low, so to speak. So, I mean, he's looking really good. Went through most of spring training without allowing a run. So his confidence is high. The one thing he admits he has to deal with is, you know, he's got a bit of a macho mentality on the mound. He likes to strike people out. But he's got a catcher. I don't know if that was a message that he got repeatedly from Russell Martin last year, but Francisco Cervelli has made it a point to go out and kind of settle him down when he looks like he's trying to blow everybody away and tells him to slow down, just make pitches, get out. So looking forward to, you know, Francisco, first Pirate pitcher in about 10 years to make consecutive opening day starts, and well-deserved.
Hey, one thing about this opening day start that seems unusual is Liriano's, the Reds have been a little bit of his kryptonite. 0-5 lifetime against the Reds. Anything you can point to about that matchup, why that hasn't been favorable for Liriano?
He's lost, well, for one thing, Johnny Cueto, who's going to meet again. They matched up twice last season, both low-scoring games, and neither time did the Pirates manage enough offense against Cueto, not surprisingly, to get Francisco a win. I think the finals were 2-0 and 3-2. And prior to that, especially in Great American Ballpark, a hitter-friendly ballpark, you know, Francisco's had an issue with giving up long balls. He's 0-4. In the Reds ballpark, so four of those five losses that come in Cincinnati. But I think that playing field might level a little bit with all the adrenaline of an opening day start. I don't think they're going to particularly take advantage of him. But basically, to answer your question, he's given up more long balls, especially Cincinnati, than normally he does.
Hey, I think it's interesting going into a season to look at Las Vegas expectations, outside expectations on teams. And the Pirates are interesting to me for a couple things. They're one of the few teams that expectations have notched up, increased since spring training started. They were the over and under at the start of spring training was 83.5, and at least at the one side I looked at, it's been pushed up to 84.5. I know around baseball, that's probably a low expectation. You know, the Pirates are certainly in that short list of teams that you will see the national analysts picking for the World Series. You know, I know the goal in Pittsburgh is to get past the Cardinals, win the division, and avoid being a wild card this team this year. But Tom, if they were going to go full right past that 84.5 game expectation and win 90 games, what would you say is the biggest thing they can do well to, you know, go surpass those expectations?
Well, you know, there's a lot of subtleties, but that's increased Vegas expectation. I would actually attribute it to perhaps Vance Worley, who's looked terrific. Maybe he was still an unknown coming into spring training, even though he had a very strong second half for the Pirates. But he's looked definitely terrific. I mean, capable of being a co-ace, the right-handed ace of Liriano. That's how good his look. So obviously, it gets you back to the depth of the rotation, the dependability of having five good starters. But beyond that, you know, scored a little more runs than last season. Gets us back to what we talked about repeatedly, the first base situation. Both Pedro Alvarez and Corey Hart, who ideally may be looking at a platoon situation, have had very strong springs. Not only just reaching base, but you know, hitting for power. If that tandem continues to perform as they did in March, I mean, right there you're talking about the X factor for reaching, you know, 90 wins, as you said. But basically, scoring more runs, getting the pitching that they expect to get, and maybe a little bit more productive offensively than most people have expectations for. And of course, that also gets us back to Gregory Polanco, who could complete that real strong outfield. other than that, I don't see anybody who has to outperform what his norm is. You know, the middle of the infield, Mercer and Walker have had very lively bats in spring training. Harrison has been his old self at third base. So I think, you know, your unknown quantities offensively are the first baseman, Polanco, and keeping the catcher, Cervelli, healthy.
Well, one last question, Tom. Just the bullpen, to me, that was really the Pirates' strength as they became a playoff team. I mean, they had that loaded bullpen, certainly, in 2013. And it stayed an asset, but as usual with bullpens, you know, some of the parts changed this year. Anthony Bastardo coming in, he's going to be the second left-hander where Wilson traded to the Yankees had been. What's your take on the bullpen? Is it going to be a Pirates strength again this year?
I believe so, maybe even more so than last season. Like you said, teams usually do have a lot of changeover in the bullpen. The Pirates took the risk of keeping essentially the same pen they had in 14 that they had in 13. And in certain cases, that did not work out. So they have reworked it a little bit. But Stardo, Archimedes Caminero looks terrific as the second setup righty with Jared Hughes. And you got, you know, John Holmstrom. With Holmstrom and Caminero, you got two really hard throwers that really they did not have at all last season, setting up Mark Melancon, the closer, who is more of a control pitcher, sinker, cutter, and a nice change of pace off those two hard throwers to come in and close games.
Well, it's going to be awesome to see that bullpen used at the end of the game on Monday, because it's going to mean the regular season is here, and no team, I think, in baseball more interesting to watch than the Pittsburgh Pirates. Tom, thank you very much. Milwaukee Brewers edition, as always, joined by Adam McKelvey, taking a look at that Brew Crew as they roll toward the opening day game against the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field. Adam, how you doing?
I'm good, Phil. Ready for it. Everybody has had enough of spring training and is ready for real baseball.
No doubt about it. And one reason the Brewers have to feel good going into that game, the guy on the mound, Kyle Loesch, scheduled to be the opening day starter. I was looking something up on Loesch, and this sort of surprised me that this will be his third opening day assignment. Started for the Cardinals 2008 and 2012. He's the only guy for St. Louis to get an opening day start in the last decade, not named Chris Carpenter or Adam Wainwright. You know, Loesch, I don't know if it's fair to call him a late bloomer, but, you know, a guy that, you know, the experience has certainly seemed to combine with the talent he has to make him a very dependable starter, more dependable than most. What's your take on Kyle Loesch, Adam?
Well, he's had three lives, really, and he came up as a hard-throwing, hard-headed, he will readily admit, pitcher. With the Twins and then with the Reds, threw gas, didn't always know where it was going, and didn't think much about the craft of pitching, just really went out and threw. Then he gets hurt and has a surgery on his forearm that was not experimental, but it also wasn't run-of-the-mill. It was something that he's on a short list of guys who've gone through that procedure and had to reinvent himself as a pitcher. And now he's had this renaissance over the last couple of seasons, or five seasons, where he's kind of entered the third stage where he's an ace. I mean, he's the kind of guy you want at the top of your rotation. And, you know, that word ace, people might have a hard time with Kyle Loesch because he doesn't throw 96. He's not Adam Wainwright. You know, he doesn't have that one great pitch like the Wainwright curveball, the Kershaw curveball. But he just gets the job done, and he's exactly the kind of pitcher you want to lead a rotation, especially when you have young pitchers on the back end like the Brewers do. And he's most deserving of this assignment. I will say, though, we have to give one asterisk on one of his opening day starts because it was a Wainwright game that was rained out against the Rockies after three innings. And Loesch, who of course had signed late, which he has done a couple of times now over the last few years, instead of throwing in minor league camp one last time, they brought him up and he pitched what was the opening day game. So he jokes that Wainwright got all the Clydesdales and all that stuff, but Loesch actually got what went in the books as the opening day game.
Yeah, that's probably worth a king-size asterisk. Looking at the Brewers this year, our friends out in Las Vegas have them as the over and under on victories, 78.5. And so my question for you, Adam, is if they're going to get considerably past that, say in the 85 range, that would 85 plus and be contenders back to the team that they were for really most of the 2014 season. What's the biggest thing you think has to go right? Is it Ryan Braun having a Ryan Braun season, or is there something else?
Well, I would actually say it's being healthy in the starting rotation, because they've got five guys they like, but they've got five guys and they don't have any established plan B in place beyond that. So, you know, they've already had an issue this spring with Michael Fiers, who's was lined up as number four, having a little dead arm or some shoulder weakness. They had an issue with Jimmy Nelson and a hamstring, their fifth starter. You know, you've got Matt Garza, who has a history of DL stints in recent years. He's done some things that he hopes avoid that sort of an issue this season, but you have to keep that in mind. So if something happens to one of those guys, they've got some real youth coming up behind that's going to have to step up. So keeping those five pitchers on the mound as much as possible, I think, is going to be huge in determining where this team goes. And then obviously, Phil, Ryan Braun is big. Your best hitter has to be your best hitter, usually, in order to be a really good team. And Ryan Braun last season was nothing like the end of Ryan Braun of 2011 and 2012. And they need him to get back to the point. And there have been promising indications this spring that some of that power is back and some of the confidence in his swing is back, and they've really liked what they've seen from Ryan Braun so far.
Hey, last topic as we wrap this up and head into the opening day, Jonathan Lucroy, the other end of the battery with Kyle Loesch. What a great spring training for this guy who entered it with questions about his health and then just seemed to hit the ground running. Is there any way he could actually raise his game over, you know, continue, I guess, what he's done over the last few years? It seems like every year he's a little bit better one year to the next.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's been both defensively and offensively. He's become one of the best pitch framers in baseball. He's become a really good thrower. And obviously, the offensive stuff is, the numbers speak for themselves. 300 last year, led the league in doubles, first catcher ever to do that. He feels like there still is improvement. And what you like about him is the way he goes the other way. He's one of those, he's more of a streak-averse player. He's pretty steady because of that opposite field approach. And that, you know, gives him an opportunity to continue to get better. I think he wants his on-base to be better. He'd like to walk more. He can do a lot of things for this team. He'll bat second this season, and the Brewers really like him in that position because he can both be a run producer if guys are getting on down in the lineup, and he can also score some runs just because, even though he doesn't run well, as he loves to joke about, he just gets on base a ton. He's really turned into a great all-around player, and challenge Ryan Braun for that best player status. I mean, I think you can make a real strong argument that Jonathan Lucroy or even Carlos Gomez has moved past Ryan Braun if you're lining up the Brewers' best player.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out in 2015, and the season is here. Let's go. Cincinnati Reds edition. And finally, after all of the smoking hot, nice weather and the relaxed days of spring training, we're getting ready for opening day for the Reds. As always, opening at home, they have the Pirates in a Monday afternoon game right off the bat. Going to see one of the top teams in the National League Central. I expected to start Johnny Cueto, even though he missed some time away from the team with a family emergency. Late in spring training, this will be his fourth straight opening day start. Mark, looking forward to a classic opening day with in Cincinnati parade and all the fun things that accompany the Cincinnati opener.
Yeah, one thing that Cincinnati does really well is opening day as a city and as a team. They do treat it like it's a local holiday. I know opening day is, of course, important to every team in the league, but Cincinnati is the oldest team in professional baseball. They always get to open at home, so they know when the season starts, they can all come home and kind of ramp up for this day. It's always around the same day, the first Monday of the season every year. And of course, they do a parade, which is something that you don't see in most cities. It's a huge event. A lot of students call in sick that day from school. A lot of people miss work that day, and they come downtown from over the Rhine to downtown to watch the parade. And then the game's always sold out. So it's always a big day. And there's a lot of attention.
Hey, what would you expect from Cueto going into the season? It's not just any year for him. It's his walk year before free agency. Doesn't appear that there were any real significant talks with the Reds, or at least not that were became public knowledge about any kind of a contract extension. The expectation he's going to be right on the heels of Max Scherzer with some of that money, crazy money. How do you think he will handle this situation? His makeup and as you've gotten to know him. How do you think he'll handle this year when the spotlight is going to be so on him?
I think he's going to embrace it, honestly. He's a guy that loves to compete. He's very competitive. He thinks, and many times he's often right, that he is the best pitcher around. And obviously Clayton Kershaw and other guys are going to come to mind to a lot of people, but he's not afraid of anybody. He puts himself in any conversation. He's not shy. And he's very consistent when he pitches. He's come up with a style now where he's become less the heaver and the strike throw, the strikeout guy trying to just compile strikeouts, even though he can lead the league in strikeouts, but he's also become a guy that is able to get quick outs. He's able to be economical with his pitches. He can work late in games but not run his pitch count up, and he just knows how to manage a game really well, and I think he can do that for the season. There's obviously a lot at stake financially for him, but I think he's going to rise to the occasion.
How about going against the Pirates right out of the chute? The good rivalries in the Central, and certainly a lot of good teams, a lot of balance. How will the Reds look at playing a team that's kind of knocked them out of the playoffs really the last couple of years, or been a big part of that?
Yeah, it's obviously this is going to be an interesting season because the National League Central in general from top to bottom is stacked. The Pirates have always been kind of a team that's been kind of becoming a rivalry series with the Reds. They've had some, especially 2 years ago, they had some really hard-fought games, a lot of hit batters and things like that. Last year, they were going back and forth, and the Pirates broke the Reds' heart more than a few times. And, when you look at the first month of the season, I think every game, with the exception of one, is against a NL Central opponent. So the Reds are going to have to come out of the gate strong. They're not really considered a contender by a lot of people, that they're not going to be in this race. They think they're going to be in this race. The first month is really going to be a time for them to prove it. They don't want to start out the year back in the standings and try to make some ground up.
And last thing, Mark, I've been looking at all of the teams at what the Las Vegas expectations are for them, and the over and under numbers. There's only an 11-game difference from the Cardinals at 88.5 expected to win the division, and the Reds, Vegas, giving them a 77.5 over and under number. If we were to look back at the end of the season and the Reds have blown past that number and been in serious contention and said, not wound up being a playoff team, what would you say has happened? I would say Joey Votto has put himself back at the top of the MVP ballot and had a classic Joey Votto year. Is that what you would point to, or is there something else you could see that would be a real difference-making factor?
I think Joey Votto is head and shoulders the biggest guy that the Reds have, as far as they'll either go where he goes one way or the other. If he has a bad year, they may have a bad year. if he's injured, they may not, they may miss his contributions. I mean, they have other guys that are very good hitters, but he's one of, when he's his best, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. So they really have to see him have another bounce back year. He doesn't necessarily have to have the kind of MVP year he had in 2010, but he needs to have a very good year and a very healthy year. But I think another guy that's kind of right there, they would, if they can get contributions from him and kind of wipe away what he did last year, is Jay Bruce. I think if Bruce and Votto have strong seasons and kind of lead the way, and the other guys kind of do what their track record is, the Reds can contend.
Well, it's going to be great to see it, and great to see these teams get back on their home fields for the regular season, 2015 season, and then the National League Central. A lot of competition from the top to the bottom. Mark Sheldon, really appreciate it. Chicago Cubs edition, as always, joined by Kerry Muscat, and we're looking at opening day. Kerry, can you believe that spring training is just about behind us and ready to get back and look ahead to the first Joe Maddon team at Wrigley Field? How cool is this season going to be?
Well, it'll be an interesting season, and it probably will be cold on April 5th. I've heard they've had snow kind of late in March, and that's going to affect things at Wrigley. It'll be interesting. Where all the players that have been with Maddon in the past have told us you never know what to expect, that he's very quirky, and we'll see what he does.
Looking at the Las Vegas odds, they had going into spring training the Cubs at 82.5 victories this year as the over-under number. I think that's probably would surprise people as being a little bit low, but this was a team that won 73 games last year. And that 82.5 number, as the last I looked, was still the number. If they were to win, say, 85-plus and be a genuine playoff contributor or contender, what do you think would be the key that would get them beyond, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with 82.5 for a team that won 73, nine or 10 game improvement, pretty good. But if they're going to be better than that, why do you think will be the key? What do you think will be the key?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure those odds and that prediction could actually be correct. I mean, you look at some of the changes and they've added, okay, yes, they've added a Lester and they've added Montero and they've added guys like Dexter Fowler, but really, the rest of the team is pretty much the same. And I, after losing 89 games last year, I'm not sure if they've done enough that they can turn this around. The key, I think, will be very simply they need to get off to a good start. And as simple as that sounds, April can be very cruel in Chicago in terms of the weather. Maddon does not like the cold. He has made that very clear. And he's got to figure out a way that this team, you know, they mashed the ball in spring training. What they need to do is figure out a way to manufacture runs, and I'm not so sure that the offense has shown that, you know, doing the little things. He needs to emphasize that more. The pitching should be pretty good. You know, you've got Lester, Hamill, Arrieta, and Hendricks right there. Hendricks has been just the star of the show in camp. He's looked the best. You know, the pitching should be fine. It's the manufacturing run, something that they have struggled with actually for the last couple of years.
Well, the bullpen doesn't get talked about that much, but, you know, was kind of the strength maybe of the team last year, the right-handers at the end of the bullpen, and Hector Rondon, Neil Ramirez, Pedro Strop. Now looking at adding Jason Mott to it and some more experience for those guys. What's your take on the bullpen? Was what those guys did last year legit? I mean, is it fair to look at? I mean, there are some people that have made the comparison. This is a bullpen that could develop into what the Kansas City Royals had going in the postseason last year when their bullpen basically got them to the World Series. What's your take on these power arms at the back of the Cubs bullpen?
Yeah, it could become something like that. Again, I hate to put, you know, cold water on some Cub fans, but I really think that this team is going to be a lot stronger in 2016. But this year will be another step toward that. You know, Rondon will be, you know, much better after last year. Ramirez and Grimm, they know. Pitching coach Chris Baggio has a better feel for how to use those guys. Strope is good down there. Mott hasn't looked good this spring, but it's spring training, so I'm not going to worry too much. He is a veteran, and he's going to be really a key piece down there just to help the kids, again, in their development and as they progress. You know, the bullpen actually could be pretty tough. They're still, you know, heading into the regular season, they're kind of sorting out the left-handers down there. Joe has mentioned before that he doesn't necessarily want a lefty to get lefties out. He'd like to see a lefty who can get both lefties and righties out. So that'll be maybe a last-minute decision going into the season.
And for the season-opening series, right off the bat, Joe Maddon's going to get to look across over in the other dugout and see Mike Matheny. Yep. Probably see Adam Wainwright on the mound opening night, Yadier Molina in the middle of things. When you say Cubs cards, I mean, it's going to be a quick lesson for Joe Maddon and how special this series is, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and I think they play a lot of their central opponents right off the bat in the first month. It'll be a good test, and you know, it's just, actually, to me, it's probably good, and he's probably looking forward to it. Let's not waste any time. Let's get going. But they really need to win games right away, and that's going to be a little tough. Wrigley can be not very friendly when it's April, you know, and the wind's blowing in off the lake. So I want to see how they can actually score some runs.
Speaking of that weather, very smart. I think the Cubs are staying in Arizona through Saturday, and you know, they'll actually roll into Wrigley, barely before the Sunday night opener, keep what they have going and not cool off while the Cardinals come to town early. It's going to be an interesting dynamic as the team looks around, and especially the newcomers find their way around the ballpark shortly before they step on the field and play the first game. Kerry, thanks very much. It's been great working with you in spring training. Look forward to the season. For Kerry Muscat, this is Phil Rogers. This is at MLB.com Extras.